Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me again.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit, tell us what you've been up to, actually.
Oh, well, since the last time I was writing Duchess Effect, and now it's out in the world, and I feel like that's what I've been doing for the past year. I have been living in the sequel, in that book, and I'm just ready for everyone to read it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I got the audiobook and I'm very excited to, I listen to audiobooks to make me fall asleep, like just to, so I'm very excited to have Duchess in my sleep.
I don't know how much sleep you're going to get though, because I start out hot from the beginning, so we'll see.
No. It's pleasant dreams.
Yes, absolutely.
So talk to us. You mentioned in your pre-interview that you have a small collection of luxury items. What brand is like the one that you have to die for, and which ones you have collected or favorite things you have in your collectibles?
So my passion, guilty pleasure is designer purses.
Yeah.
I spend a lot. It is a guilty pleasure. So the designer I have the most of would be Louis Vuitton. That's the most pieces I have. I have a couple by a French designer that I really love. And of course now the name is escaping me, but that's fine. That I really love. And I think they're going to become like a household name. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of Chanel. My biggest purchase is I have an Hermes, but that's the most I'll say.
Wait, how did you get the Hermes? Like, did you have to build a brand? Like, what's it look?
No, because I don't have what it takes to like find a sales associate and be nice and buy 1,000 scarves to get a bag. So my bag is like previously loved, but I will take it.
Perfect.
I got it within my budget and I jumped on it.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a really good jump on it. Cause honestly, like the whole Hermes, like, you know, you had to find a sales associate. You need to buy scarves. You need to buy belts. You need to like get to know each other, get to know their life story. And then all of a sudden one day when you, without asking, cause you're not be too aggressive, then somehow the bag is going to appear to you.
Right. Somehow bad. And look, it could be like, it might not even be the leather you want, the color you want, the size you want, but you got to take it, right? Because they've done all this work and they're like, we have presented it to you.
And then we'll give you the one, we'll get closer. So you have to keep buying to get closer.
Now, I don't have the patience. I don't have the personality. I don't have the tact for that. So I was just like, I know what I want and I will just comb these threads until what I want pops up in a condition that works for me and a price that I can kind of attempt to pay.
But for Louis, do you go to stores? Like, have you traveled and go to the store in like different cities? And like, have you done Paris?
I have not done Paris. My husband and I are going next year. So that is on my bucket list to like go to the store while I'm there. Yeah. But, you know, I live right outside of DC. And so there are several stores in the area that I go to. Yeah. And it's different sales associates and they don't seem to care. They just, you know.
Yeah. They're like, give me the money. Yeah. I've been to the Paris store. It's like, it's an experience. It's like multiple floors, there's a line. I think at the time I went to in 2002, mm-hmm. and there was like, there was a line, there was like an inflation because a lot of Asia was like basically had like a Louis moment, mm-hmm. and so they were like basically limiting the amount of buys, the bags you can buy per person.
Okay, so I know, like, I'm going to research, I'm going to pick a bag that I really want,
yeah,
and have a backup, and then that's what I'm going to go, like, with my mindset to buy. I do not want to walk into that store like just strolling, like, what do I see? That's bad. It has to be like when I go to the grocery store, I will have a list.
You have a list, have like a couple backups, and like maybe like look through research, check the threads, because you're probably like other people talking about them, you know, what they saw in the store, like might be unique to Paris and not there as opposed to other cities.
That's a great idea.
You never know. Like,
yes, that is a great idea, actually. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, just do the sleuthing. No, this is like research.
It's research. It's important. This is important.
It's important. Like, it's a treat yourself. So. Yes. Awesome. So let's chat about the Duchess Effect. So we talk, you know, like Duchess Effect is a sequel, but talk to us about the elevator pitch of why we should read this duology.
So the American Royalty series is essentially Harry and Meghan, but if Meghan was Megan the Stallion. And the first book, American Royalty, was all about Duchess, who is an American rapper, and Jameson, who is a prince and also a university professor, meeting and falling in love and doing that almost exclusively outside of the spotlight. So while they were having their journey and falling in love, no one really knew that this was happening. And it wasn't until the end of American Royalty when Jameson defied his grandmother, the queen, and kind of announced to the world that he was in love with Duchess and that they were a couple. And so it is a happily ever after, which, you know, all of my romances are. But I just felt like there needed to be more between the two of them because their lives are so big and so spectacular that even though I got you, the reader, and them to I love you by the end of American Royalty, I still felt that there were so many issues that needed to be addressed. Like, she's this famous rapper. She's also an entrepreneur. He's a member of the royal family. With the duties and responsibilities there, she has her own life in the US. How were they going to make it work? And I didn't feel like we delved into their issues and situations enough in American Royalty for a reader to like believe that 10 years later, they would still be together making it work. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the second book, The Duchess Effect, delves into all of that. It shows them working to make the relationship work. And again, it's a happily ever after because it's the romance, but I hope I've shown you that those two will make it stick. They'll make it work 10, 15, 20 years down the road.
I love this. Yeah, I felt like it was like something was like, it was like, I love American Royalty. Like, I loved it. It was like such a, like, it was the fan fiction I wanted to have for Harry and Meghan. And yet I felt it was like, well, but how is it going to work once the media finds out? Like, how's it going to, because we're thinking of US media, but we're also thinking paparazzis and like tabloids and like UK media is like, it's vicious.
They are so much worse than the US media. It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So like seeing that process, and it's like, yeah, it definitely just sells a sequel. You know? there's enough external conflict that can deserve a sequel.
You know? It is. And like, I wouldn't have ended the first book that way if I knew that that was going to be the only book. So because I knew while I was still writing American Royalty that there was going to be a second book and that the second book was going to be the same couple, I was able to like end it that way, knowing that there was still more to come.
Yeah. So one of the things I notice around your writing, and I think it's important, and you talked about this, is interracial couples, the importance of having those couple, like that couple, person, to have. And so can you talk to us of why it's important for us to, for readers who may not be familiar, or like trying to diversify the reads, I don't know. But I think it's like mostly like why it's important to talk about interracial couples, in romance.
Right. Romance is a big enough genre that it can handle multiple viewpoints, right? And so people, authors tend to write from a voice or a viewpoint that's really sort of personal, and familiar to them. Not everyone, but there are a lot of us who do that. And so romance is a genre that I love, that I've been reading since I was 12 years old. And when I met my husband when I was in my early 20s, I was reading romance and loving the genre. And then once I met him and he's white, I was like, I wanted to see our relationship reflected in the pages of the books that I loved. And I could not find that. It was not the way it is today. There were very few examples of interracial relationships where there was like a white man and a black woman. And when I did find them, they were great, but the differing races was like the main conflict in the story. And that was not the situation between my husband and I. And it wasn't really what I wanted to read. Like, I liked the representation, but I was like, that's not sort of the stories that I want to read. I want to read the romances that I love and just happen to have the couple represent my husband and I. And so when I decided to begin writing romance, I made the conscious decision that that is what I was going to do. That the stories were going to be interracial. They were going to feature a black woman because that's what I write, that's what I want to see. And that the stories were going to be romance, but race was not going to be the conflict. It doesn't mean that they don't acknowledge that there are different races, because they are, and because the heroines are black women and view the world through that lens, that can't help but be a part of her voice, her experiences, etc. But it wasn't going to be a situation of you're white, I'm black, we're so different, we can't be together. That's not the story that I write. That story is out there. There are other people who write that. And, like I said, the genre is big enough to hold and contain all of that. And if that is what you're looking for as a reader, please, like, go find it. This genre is amazing. That's just not how I choose to approach the situation. But it is a trademark, not trademark, it is sort of a part of what I write. It's my voice, it's my viewpoint, it's my niche. That's
It's
what I write.
your niche. I think like in some ways you feature strong black women finding love and like having the opportunity and like at any moment. And so I think it's also looking at it beyond race, like what other areas like are connecting, what other areas are potential conflict, is it career? Is it like friendships? Is it like a lot of it like we're beyond of just one marker that white supremacy wants us to think of. We're beyond of that. We're in a very like there's a whole different gamut of things that we are. And so we have to celebrate those things too. And I think in some ways it educates, even though we don't want to do the lift of educating others, it educates others like, hey, we have all this other stuff about ourselves,
Right.
not just what you see.
Not just what you see. And that's like the greatest thing about romance as a genre is it's so empathetic, because when you read it, there's so much sort of internal thought and dialogue and exposition that as a reader, you get into the minds of these characters. And so it is a genre that allows you to to learn about different cultures in a way that's not teaching, in a way that's not preaching.
Yeah.
And it allows you to, exactly what you said, see that, you know, if you're not a Black woman, but you're reading a book where the Black woman is a heroine, you see that she is more than just her skin color, and that there are more things that we are alike than we are different. Like, romance is amazing at doing that. When people give books written by authors of color and featuring characters of a color a chance.
Yeah, and I think it's just like, it brings joy, you know, because we get a lot of trauma. Too much. Like, I don't know, like, we get too much trauma. Like, we get trauma from the news, we get trauma from all this stuff, and sometimes you just need that joyful experience. Like, look at them falling in love, look at them having, you know, having a career that they like, having friends that they care about, look at them trying to make a sense of this world in the best way they can possibly do.
Yes And having hot sex.
Yes Oh my gosh. Like, and it's not dirty, or it's not this, it's not that. It's just fun. It's just part of who you are as a human being.
Yes.
You know, basic needs are met.
Always. Yeah.
So it's so good. So let's try some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I do. I have four. So
you're excited.
I know. So the first is An Island Princess Starts a Scandal by Adriana Herrera. It is the second book in her Las Leonas series.
Yep.
I love the whole series. I love this book. It is a sapphic romance. It was a couple that I hadn't seen reflected in historical romances before. So as we talked about that learning part, that is something that happened with me. But again, it's not preaching. It's a romance. And yet I'm taking in all of the senses, all of the storylines, the characters. It's just lush and sensual. And Adriana does such amazing research about people of color during this time period. It's absolutely amazing. And so I recommend it to everyone, whether you like historical romance or not. I think you will really, really enjoy this book.
Yeah, it's an Afro-Caribbean. I gotta say, Adriana's like my favorite Dominican, you know, author. like I grew up in Puerto Rico, but like my Puerto Rico, the island, there's a lot of Dominican Cuban, like, it's the influences are there. And so I felt like I was just like, it's just like a breath of, like, you know, my culture.
Yes. Like, and you can't underestimate reading that and feeling
that. And like talking about how monolithic, like how diverse that experience it is from all different types. So if you're like, Adriana's backlist is like, after you're done with Tracy's backlist, you should just do Adriana's backlist.
Yes.
You know, there's enough to go around.
Yes, we're going to keep you busy. We will keep you busy. Yes. So that's Adriana's. The next one is Kennedy Ryan's Before I Let Go. This is her most recent release. And I'm not sure what the series is called, but it is surrounding a married couple, and the heroine has two other friends. And so I know that Kennedy is writing the book for the friends as well. So it will be a series. But Before I Let Go is so, it's a second chance romance about a divorced couple. Mm-hmm. There is, I believe that Kennedy has in the book sort of a content and trigger warnings, because it does deal with issues of grief and the loss of children and family. However, it's handled in such a real way, in such an honest way, in a tender and kind way. This book is romantic. It is evocative. It's sexy. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. It's about healing and loving not only yourself, but your partner, or I should say not only loving your partner, but loving yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I think that too often we believe or we've been taught that sacrificing ourselves is how we show love to others. And I think what Kennedy does in this book is make it clear that it is hard to love others if we don't love and take care of ourselves. It's a beautiful book. So I definitely recommend that one.
It's a good one. And also another backlist you should check out.
So many.
Like you're giving us authors. You're like, okay, you like this. Now you have like a whole backlist.
Yes.
And like, she has like politics. She got the politics series. She got the hoop series, which is the basketball. She got the rapper, the brick series.
Yes.
Like there's a little bit of everything.
Everything. She will keep you busy too. Yeah. I'm giving y'all good stuff.
You are.
This is a hot, good summer. The next one is a YA that I am a little late to the show on, but it's called Legend Born by Tracy Dion. I think it came out a few years ago, and it is essentially a retelling of the Camelot fantasy, but the heroine is a Black student in North Carolina. And this book was so good. I was not expecting how good it was. I've seen the cover. The cover is gorgeous. I am not usually a YA reader. And I think that's why I saw the cover. I was like, oh, that's pretty. But just that was it. And I can't even tell you what made me pick it up. But something did recently. And I read it and thought it was fantastic. I cannot recommend this enough. You don't have to be a YA reader. If you are a YA reader, especially if you like fantasy, this is for you. The world building is top notch. The way she takes history and especially Black history and weaves it into the whole Camelot fable, fantasy, mystique is amazing. There's two books in the series. Mm-hmm. So when you finish Legend Born, you're going to want to go to the next one. But I figured I would start you out with Legend Born. That one.
This is great. I'm actually excited to add this into my fantasy, you know.
It's really good. The you know, with fantasy, the world building takes a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And since I'm not usually a YA fantasy reader, it took me a little bit to get there. But once you're there,
then it's just like off to the races.
So good. And then my last one is nonfiction.
Yeah.
It is Maureen Ryan's Burn It Down. And it's about its power, complicity, and a call for change in Hollywood. I love TV and movies. I'm a pop culture fanatic. And what she does in this book is talk about how Hollywood works and the issues around racism and sexism that go on in the industry and how the industry is really set up to have those things continually happen. And so what she's saying is we need to burn down and start over. And she does that by talking about some really popular movies and series and sort of what happened behind the scenes. So she talks about the writer's room in Lost, and she talks about what happened with Sleepy Hollow, which if you were a Sleepy Hollow fan, some feelings, but it's really good, especially again, if you love TV and movies and you do have an interest in sort of like what goes on behind the scenes in Hollywood, it's a really good book.
Oh, I'm adding that for sure. Like that's one that's, I'm adding it. Like I'm like a pop culture fascination, you know. The writers are on strike, so we're doing a lot of, you know, a lot of like reality TV shows, which is just a great thing.
So if you are a person who knows that the writers are on strike and they're striking about, then Burn It Down is like the type of book for you.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing you're interested in. And it's really, really good.
Awesome. Tracy, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram @tracy.livesey. I am on TikTok in the way that old people are on TikTok, I guess. <It's all good. laughs> I'm still learning, but I'm at Tracy Livesey Writes, and my website is livesey.com.
Thank you, Tracy, for being in the show.
Thank you for having me, Laura. I always have fun talking to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.